السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، حبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد،
وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المنتجبين. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. أرأيت الذي يكذب بالدين، فذلك الذي يدع اليتيم ولا يحض على طعام المسكين، فويل للمصلين الذين هم عن صلاتهم ساهون، الذين هم يراءون ويمنعون الماعون. صدق الله العلي العظيم، وصلوا على محمد وآل محمد. The chapter which I just read from beginning to end is chapter 107 of the Quran, referred to as Surah Al-Ma'un. Al-Ma'un, according to interpreters of the Quran, refers or may refer to a number of meanings. One of those meanings is a small act of kindness, is referred to as ma'un, a small act of kindness. And it's the last word in the chapter, الَّذِينَ هُمْ يُرَاءُونَ وَيَمْنَعُونَ الْمَاعُونَ. يَمْنَعُونَ الْمَاعُونَ are those who prevent small acts of kindness. But who are those people? These people are described from the beginning of the chapter to the end of the chapter. And this chapter has 7 verses. Now, this chapter is a Meccan chapter. It was revealed in Mecca. And we know, and we've discussed this before, that Meccan chapters deal with Meccan issues. And Medinan chapters, meaning chapters revealed in Mecca and chapters revealed in Medina, Medinan chapters deal with Medinan issues. So if an issue was non-existent in Mecca, it would not mean anything for the Quran to reveal verses concerning that issue at that time. Once they became of relevance, once they became of importance, then the revelation was sent. And this is how most of the revelation is. Now, the Meccan chapters, in them, and especially in the smaller chapters, you will find a condemnation of certain individuals. Some of them are mentioned by name, and others, they're not mentioned by name. They're mentioned by what they did, or what they believed in, or what they promoted, or what their habits were. And the Quran talks about a number of individuals, the Meccan chapters. So this one, the first few verses of the chapter, أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يُكَذِّبُ بِالدِّينِ فَذَلِكَ الَّذِي يَدُعُ الْيَتِيمِ. Do you see the one who denies deen? What is deen? We'll come back to what deen is. فَذَلِكَ الَّذِي يَدُعُ الْيَتِيمِ. That is the one who turns away the orphan. Now there's a commentary which states that this was revealed in the case of Al-As ibn Wa'il, one of the opponents of the Prophet. And another commentary states that it was revealed in favor of Abu Sufyan, another opponent of the Prophet. But it's important to understand this, that whether the Quran is talking about Al-As ibn Wa'il or Abu Sufyan or Abu Lahab, and Abu Lahab is mentioned by name in the Quran in Surah Al-Masad, تَبَّتْ يَدَى أَبِي لَهَبٍ وَتَبْ. The hand, meaning the actions of Abu Lahab, is cursed in the Quran. And just as a fact, Abu Lahab is the only individual mentioned in the Quran by his kunya. What is a kunya? In Arabic, a kunya is, you know, when you refer to the person by either the name of their oldest son, and this is traditional, and in contemporary times, oldest daughter as well, because we have to be politically correct, or by an attribute that they have. So Abu Lahab is an example of that. Abu Jahl is an example of that. The Prophet is known as what? What is his kunya? His kunya, not his title, his kunya. Abu al-Qasim. Abu al-Qasim Muhammad. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. And the Prophet had a son named Qasim who passed away. He had more than one son, and they all passed away. They did not survive past infantship or toddler ages. But others are their kunya is based on an attribute that they have. It may be a physical attribute that they have, or an attribute in their characteristic, such as Abu Lahab. Lahab refers to, he didn't have a son named Lahab. Abu Lahab. Lahab means what?
Flame.
And they say that he was white and he had flaming rosy cheeks. And that's why he was known as Abu Lahab. Abu Jahl, also another individual, they used to refer to him as Abu al-Hakam, the father of wisdom. But because he wasn't very wise, he was the opposite of that. So he was given the name Abu Jahl, father of ignorance. Abu Lahab is the only person in the Quran, in the entire Quran, mentioned by his kunya, Abu Lahab. Tabbat yada Abi Lahabin wa tab. Ma aghna anhu maluhu wa ma kasab. In other verses, and especially in the Meccan chapters, such as this one, there are other individuals who are mentioned. Abu Jahl, for instance, is mentioned in which surah? أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يَنْهَى عَبْدًا إِذَا صَلَّى. Where are these verses to be found? Which chapter? Yes. Surah Al-Alaq. Correct. Surah Al-Alaq. أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يَنْهَى عَبْدًا. I didn't teach him before the lecture. He knows. أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يَنْهَى عَبْدًا إِذَا صَلَّى. Abu Jahl. And the Quran says, have you seen the one who prevents a servant when he stands to pray? The servant is the Prophet, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And you know the story of how the Prophet would stand to pray, and people would come to him, Abu Jahl was known for this. He would prevent the Prophet from performing his prayer. He would place obstacles in his way. He would, they would even throw animal feces at him. But the Prophet was someone who was mentally tough, mentally and spiritually very, very tough. So he can withstand all the obstacles that they put in his way. Other people are mentioned as well by their actions, by what they did. So Abu Lahab is mentioned by his name and his action, what he did. Abu Jahl is not mentioned by his name, he's mentioned by what he did. This verse, which begins the chapter, أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يُكَذِّبُ بِالدِّينِ. Have you seen the one that denies religion? Now, commentators say what is meant by deen here is not necessarily all of religion. It could be either all of religion, that he denies the entire religion, or he denies an important aspect of religion, such as the resurrection. And that's one thing that the polytheists deny. It wasn't that they denied the existence of God. They had an idea of a God, but to them God also had daughters, and those daughters were the idols. And so they worshipped and revered the idols, the daughters of God. They did not have a clear understanding of the resurrection. And a Muslim, by definition, believes in Allah, believes in the Prophet of Allah, and believes in the resurrection. That's what renders a person Muslim. The belief in Allah, the belief in the Messenger of Allah, and the belief in the resurrection. So because they denied that, Allah says, أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يُكَذِّبُ بِالدِّينِ, the one who denies religion or part of religion. فَذَلِكَ الَّذِي يَدُعُ الْيَتِيمِ, that is the one who drives away the orphan. Now, let's take a step back. The Quran is, in these chapters, criticizing Abu Lahab, Abu Jahl, Abu Sufyan. Why aren't these people mentioned by name? Why didn't the Quran just condemn Abu Sufyan? Why wasn't his name mentioned? So that people later would not be tricked, because after the Prophet, a lot of people were deceived. Because not everybody... See, some people at that time, even though they were Muslim, they still had remnants of idolatry, sanamiyya. Let me explain what I'm talking about. When you criticize a person by name, or when you praise a person by name, by who they are, and not by their actions, what happens, or their values, or their belief system, what happens is idolatry, sanamiyya. Now, with Abu Lahab, the Quran is cursing the hands of Abu Lahab. But does that mean that now that Abu Lahab's dead, and he's been dead for 1400 years, that those verses have no relevance? No. Because each one of us knows a contemporary Abu Lahab. There was an Abu Lahab in the 7th century, and there's an Abu Lahab in the 21st century. And that's why the name isn't so important. The person isn't so important. What they do is important, but even more significant than what they do, because even our actions don't always define us. We are defined by our values. That's more important than our actions. Because sometimes a person may do something good, but it's a one-time offer. It's a one-time deal. And so because that person has done good one time, for the rest of their life, we praise that person. And instead of praising that person, we should get into the habit of praising their actions. And this goes the other way as well. Sometimes a person does wrong, and for the rest of our life, we condemn and criticize that person because they did one wrong thing. We are not defined by our actions. We are defined by our values. And that's why the Quran doesn't hold such significance to the name of that person. Because if it's just the name, then we'll say, okay, well, Abu Lahab is gone. Abu Jahl is gone. Abu Sufyan is gone. Why do we still read these verses? But the fact is that there is an Abu Lahab in every time. There is an Abu Jahl in every time. There is an Abu Sufyan in every time. Each one of us knows one or two Abu Sufyan. I know a few Abu Sufyans. They live in the 21st century, not 7th century. At the same time, there are also very good people. You will find a Salman in every time. You will find an Abu Dhar in every time. You will find an Ammar ibn Yasir in every time as well. People who hold the same values as those people. People who struggle and sacrifice in the same way that they did. So, it's not so important that who the person is, what their name is. That's why people ask, well, why isn't the name of Ali ibn Abi Talib mentioned in the Quran? So what if it's mentioned in the Qur'an or not mentioned in the Qur'an? It's the values that that person follows. If you look at values, his values are everywhere in the Qur'an. There's not a chapter which doesn't mention the values of this man. If you look at the values, look past the person and look at the values. And this is what Imam Ali alayhi salam himself taught. During one of his battles, a man comes to him and he says that these people that we're fighting against. This is confusing. These people that we're fighting against, yesterday I saw them. They were with the Prophet. Fulan and Fulan and Fulan, this person, that person. And now we're standing on opposite sides of the battlefield. And Imam Ali alayhi salam turns to him and he smiles at him. And he told him that you look a little bit confused. Innaka lamalbusun alayk. And then he says, good is not defined by men. Or by the actions of some men, by some actions of some men. Neither is evil. Good is understood in itself. And evil is understood in itself. اعرف الحق تعرف أهله واعرف الباطل تعرف أهله. Know what goodness is and you will recognize who is good. And know what evil is, and you will recognize who is evil. You will recognize what that is. And the reason I say this is because sometimes we may fall into the habit, and again, this goes both ways. We condemn and we criticize a person because of some of their actions, but we don't look at that person's value system. Now, sometimes actions are reflective of values, both good and bad. But not necessarily, that doesn't always happen like that. Likewise, on the good side, we look at people and there's this there's this issue of sanamiya, idolatry. I will blindly follow this person just because of their name or because they studied in a certain institution or because his turban is this big or his beard. And we forget to look at the person's values. Don't follow people. Follow values. If you follow people blindly, you'll be disappointed. Because people can change. This person can be good for 50 years, for 60 years, and then all of a sudden, God forbid, shaitan gets to him and he changes. And if you attach yourself to a person rather than attaching yourself to values and beliefs, you get very disappointed when people change. And we don't know. That's why we have to honor principles. That's why we have to honor values. Not that you cannot have reverence for a person and respect for a person. You have reverence and respect for a person insofar as they follow those values. But understand what the values are. That's why you go to non-Muslim countries, I put in quote, non-Muslim countries, but you find Muslim values. Islam is being practiced because you find the values, even though the person is non-Muslim. You go to a non-Muslim organization or an association where you find your values are being practiced. Whereas you go to some Muslim countries or some Muslim organizations or some Muslim groups where the values of Islam is not being practiced. What good is it? What benefit is it? So that's what we should be looking at when we read these verses. We should approach it with this mentality. That it's not necessarily the person that is being condemned. Yeah, this person is just an example. But it's the type of person that follows those certain values. That's the person that deserves criticism or deserves praise. That's why we should look to not just praising a person. You praise their actions. Not condemning a person, but condemning their actions. And this is why you'll find that the Qur'an doesn't necessarily have to mention anybody by name. So going back to this chapter, أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يُكَذِّبُ بِالدِّينِ فَذَلِكَ الَّذِي يَدُعُ الْيَتِيمِ. Have you seen the one who denies religion? That is the one who drives away the orphan. Now, there's two people who may be referred to in this. Again, see, when we take this approach, it makes it, some people ask the question, well, who is it? Why don't we have a clear answer? Is it this person? It doesn't matter who the person is. What matters is the act. What matters is the value that is being criticized. It could be Al-As ibn Wa'il, it could be Abu Sufyan, it could be some random nomad in the desert. We don't know who his name is. But it's not important what his name is. It's not important what family he's from. What's important is what's going on, what's taking place, what are the values that the Qur'an is talking about? What are the dangers? What are the prohibitions that the Qur'an is talking about? Let's focus on those. أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يُكَذِّبُ بِالدِّينِ. Have you seen the one who denies religion? He is the one who drives away the orphans. Now, two commentaries. One says that it is Al-As ibn Wa'il. Al-As ibn Wa'il is also mentioned in another chapter in the Qur'an. Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar fasalli li rabbika wanhar inna shani'aka shani'. Shani' is the one that mocks a person. Wala yajrimannakum shana'anu qawm. Shani' is the one that mocks a person or criticizes. So the Prophet was criticized because he had no male heir. He only had the daughter that survived him. And the Quran says that, do not be sad, Ya Rasulullah. We have continued your legacy through this daughter, through this woman. That's how people will come to know you, of your legacy. That's where your family is established, through your daughter. And so he would criticize the Prophet because he had no male sons. And he would refer to the Prophet as Al-Abtar. Abtar means the one who is cut off. His legacy is cut off. And the Quran says, إِنَّ شَانِئَكَ هُوَ الْأَبْتَرُ. This man, Al-Asa bin Wa'il. Who is the son of Al-Asa bin Wa'il? Amr ibn Al-As. And Amr ibn Al-As was the right-hand man of Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan. And we have no idea where his descendants are. The Quran says, your opponent, he will not be remembered. Nobody knows anything about here. He's the one that's cut off. Nobody knows anything. I've never come across a person that said, oh, by the way, my ancestor is Al-As ibn Wa'il. I simply haven't come across anyone like that. So Al-As ibn Wa'il, it could be him or it could be Abu Sufyan. And the story with Abu Sufyan and him denying the orphan says that Abu Sufyan, even though he denied religion, he denied the faith, but to keep his status, see, sometimes people do things, good things, and it's revealed sometimes. Not out of good intention, but to preserve their status. And that's where we have to be smart. We have to differentiate between when people do something for status, or they do it because it's a good thing to do. So because of status, he would slaughter 2 camels a week. Sure. And the remains, the meat, the skin, the bones, because they used to make use out of all of that. The skin, they used to turn into, you know, clothing, a parchment that they used to write on. The bones, even, they used to take the bone, the hip bone, and they used to write on them. Many of the early writings and recordings of hadith and the Quran and you know, other writings were recorded on skins, parchment, and on bones. Until later on, paper was discovered, papyrus, and then that's when they began writing his books. So he used to divide that among people. And so an orphan comes to him one day, and Abu Sufyan takes his cane, his stick, and he strikes that orphan. He pushes him away. And that's how you know he did it for status. Because when the person of importance came to him, he turned him away. That's how you know it's for status. And we know that the Quran places such a great emphasis on whom? On the orphans. You won't find a book, a divine book, which speaks about orphans as much as the Quran does. فَذَلِكَ الَّذِي يَدُعُ الْيَتِيمِ. He's the one that turns orphans away. And I won't go into the details of what the Quran says, but there are just a few verses of the praise that the Quran gives for those who take care of the orphans, and the condemnation that the Quran gives for those who turn the orphans away. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَأْكُلُونَ أَمْوَالَ الْيَتَامَى ظُلْمًا إِنَّمَا يَأْكُلُونَ فِي بُطُونِهِمْ نَارًا وَسَيَصْلَوْنَ سَعِيرًا. Those who consume, the Quran says, consume the wealth of the orphans, they are consuming fire in their stomachs. It's not money, it's not wealth, it's fire they're consuming in their stomachs. And on the day of judgment, they will be punished for that. The Prophet says, and this is a very important hadith, it's a very, very simple hadith, but a very important hadith. The Prophet says, أَنَا وَكَافِلُ الْيَتِيمِ. Me and the sponsor of an orphan. And the Prophet, the hadith says, the Prophet placed his 2 fingers together. Me and the sponsor of the orphan are like this in paradise. We are like this. We are inseparable in paradise. The Prophet says about the sponsor of the orphan. فَذَلِكَ الَّذِي يَدُعُ الْيَتِيمِ وَلَا يَحَضُّ عَلَى طَعَامِ الْمِسْكِينِ. Another thing that he does, he doesn't feed the people that are hungry. He'll slaughter a camel and he'll give it to the people that will say mashallah and barakallah and so on and so forth. But he doesn't give it to the people who are most deserving. And the Quran mentions it'am in a number of cases. It talks about the people who will feed others. If you go to their home, they'll have a, you know, they'll have a spread that's from here to there. But they'll never donate a penny to orphans. They will never donate a penny to those who are truly hungry. Now, if you put out a spread, that's fine. But make sure that the right people, you are also feeding them. Again, putting things in front of people versus putting it in front of the right people. This is what this chapter is talking about. And the Quran in Surah Yasin mentions this again. أَنُطْعِمُ مَنْ لَوْ يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ أَطْعَمَهُ. This pseudo-theological argument that why should we feed the poor? God is able to feed the person. This idea that God does everything, God closes the gaps of the thing that we don't do. So God will take care of everything. Yeah, but God has given it to you for a reason. You are the agent of God. So yes, God takes care of all, but consider yourself an agent, consider yourself a messenger. Again, this is where the true character of a person shows. Are they doing it for God, or are they doing it for people? Are they doing it for status? وَلَا يَحُضُّ عَلَىٰ طَعَامِ الْمِسْكِينِ فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ. Wail, there is a discussion on what the word in the Qur'an, wail, means. Wail, in Arabic we say wail. In English, we say woe. Woe unto this person. What do we say in Farsi? Why? Right? That's what wail means. Like, you know, this person is going to get it. فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ. Woe unto al-musallin. Who are al-musallin? Now, if you read this verse by itself, God is criticizing those who pray. But it's important to understand this. First of all, salah means it's more general than what we mean it, than what we understand it to mean. Salah, when we say salah today, we think of the five daily prayers that we offer, plus the mustahab prayers, the one which requires tahara, purity, the one that requires us to stand in front of the qibla, the one that requires recitation, ruku', sujood, tashahud, taslim, so on and so forth. But salah, in its literal meaning, also means any prayer. And that's why the Qur'an says, وَمَا كَانَ صَلَاتُهُمْ عِنْدَ الْبَيْتِ إِلَّا مُكَاءً وَتَصْدِيَةً. Their salah, the people of the jahiliyyah, their prayer, was nothing but muka' and tazdiyah, which means what? How did they pray? They used to walk around the Kaaba, and they used to do what? They used to clap. They used to clap and they used to whistle. So clapping and whistling. This was, the Quran says, this was their salah. So the word salah, when we see, when Allah says, وَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ, it's not necessarily, God is not condemning the people who stand and pray five times a day. Because those people are not referred to as al-musallin. Those people are referred to as الَّذِينَ يُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةِ. Big difference between al-musallin and الَّذِينَ يُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةِ. We won't get into that. فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ. And then the next verse, woe to the ones who offer their prayers. الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ. Sahun comes from, it comes from Qum. That's where they produce. In Arabic we say Sahun, it's Sohan. We say Sahun. Sahun comes from Sahu. Sahu is heedlessness. When you are heedless about something. So it's more than forgetfulness. It's when you're, now forgetfulness is a part of being heedless. But Sahun, الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ, are the ones who are heedless in their prayers. And if you read the ahadith, the interpretation of what this means, there's one hadith that says that it refers to the hypocrites as one characteristic that they have is when it comes to their prayers. They pray in front of people, but in private they abandon their prayers. And also, with their prayers, the hadith says that the hypocrite, how do you know the hypocrite? The hypocrite is the one who stands looking at the horizon, and he waits for the time of prayer. He waits for the sun to disappear. He waits for it to get dark. As soon as the adhan goes off on his iPhone, he lets out quickly. He lets out a few rak'ah and he's done. Now this is different than waiting for the prayer, doing tasbih, doing dua. But the type of person who is, as soon as it becomes prayer time, quickly, 2-3 rak'ah and he's done. This is the attributes of a hypocrite according to the Quran. And sometimes this happens with us because we're waiting for something, we're waiting to go somewhere. But as long as it does not happen deliberately and intentionally, and with another characteristic, and that is you're doing it in front of people. If you were by yourself, you wouldn't do it. الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ Those, the ones that are condemned, are the ones who are heedless in their prayers. And then the verse ends by saying, الَّذِينَ هُمْ يُرَاءُونَ وَيَمْنَعُونَ الْمَاعُونَ This is a continuation. So the beginning of the chapter, it's talking about Abu Sufyan. But in the end, it's more general than that. Now, Abu Sufyan could have had all of these characteristics. But it doesn't mean that just because he had those characteristics. No, if I have those characteristics, I'm also condemned in the Quran. Well, الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ يُرَاءُونَ يُرَاءُون comes from رِيَاء. رِيَاء is when you do things in front of people, to please people. You're showing off. You're putting it on display. It's not for God. It's for that person. You're a people pleaser. الَّذِينَ هُمْ يُرَاءُونَ That's one of their characteristics. وَيَمْنَعُونَ الْمَاعُونَ At the same time, they want to display everything in front of people, but they leave الْمَاعُونَ And الْمَاعُونَ means the small acts of kindness. So, what do they want? They want credit in front of people. They're not willing to do anything, but they want all of the credit. Whereas a true believer, see, a hypocrite does as little as possible and wants the most amount of credit. A believer is the exact opposite. Does as most as possible and never asks for any credit. The least amount of credit. الَّذِينَ هُمْ يُرَاءُونَ وَيَمْنَعُونَ الْمَاعُونَ We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to be among the believers, not those who are condemned in the Quran. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us the blessings and the mercy of this month and the upcoming month, inshallah. The past few weeks, we've had, alhamdulillah, a few successful events. We've had the annual youth retreat and the junior youth retreat. And I was lucky enough to be invited to both. When I go, I consider it an invitation. And alhamdulillah, this year, in my opinion, has been one of the most successful years. And there were a lot of people that, you know, unfortunately missed out on the situation. But I would tell you, just as a brother, brotherly advice, that look out for these events. Sometimes, you know, we say 15 and up, and some people assume that some people we get are 30 and 35, they say I'm too old. This year we had a camper, I was looking out to see if he was here, he's not here. This year we had a camper who was 70 years old. So, you know, we're not saying, okay, welcome 70-year-old, but we're saying that these camps, these events that we hold, they have significance. Ask the people. Some of the people here were there. Or ask some of the parents who their children went to the camp. Some of the most significant events that we have throughout the year. So I would recommend, please, for next year, keep an eye out. If you have people you know who are of age, and the reason why we've done two camps, one is 9 to 14, the other is 15 and up, is that so we can accommodate as much people as possible. So we have those going on, so encourage from now for next year. That's number one. Number two, we have Dua Tawassul every Tuesday night, which begins half an hour before Maghrib. At the Salah. So whenever Maghrib is, we have the prayers, and then Dua Tawassul begins after that, inshallah. And the youth are beginning the first Friday's event, beginning from September, which is next month. And the first Friday event will be September 2nd. That's the first Friday of the month of September. And it's a once a month event, so please send your youth. It's a very beneficial program that we have. So please keep an eye out for that. And if you are not subscribed to the emails, please do so. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma aghfir lil-mu'minina wal-mu'minat wal-muslimina wal-muslimat al-ahya'i minhum wal-amwat. Tabi' baynana wa baynahum bil-khayrat. Innaka mujibu al-da'wat. Innaka qadhi al-hajat. Innaka ala kulli shay'in qadir. برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين.